I'm sorry? That's exactly right. Perfect. No, that's what it is. You need to basically have the person needs to understand that you keep the hand on the wheel at all times. And so really what we're doing when we're doing a mini touch is we're doing what are the critical in motion functions. So we differentiate between motions that, functions that you can do any old time and functions that you can only do while you're driving. Okay? Of course, that's what we want to make sure that we're connected to there. Okay, so what are those functions? Turn signals. You got to do those while you're driving. High beam, low beam. Wiper, and most importantly, wash. Wash is a real important one. Why would you need to have access to wash while you're in motion? Yep, and what if you get splashed by a truck or something like that? There you are, you're moving along, and you can't see. And the other one, of course, is horn. So those are the key functions, and that's why the Mini Touch is a six function unit. Okay, why is it six functions? Well, because that's how many functions that fills up. Two for wash, I'm sorry, two for turns. Wipe is all on one. You just toggle through on low, on high, or intermittent, on low, on high, off. One button. Wash is an emergency function that you need to be accessed quickly without toggling through 16 different things, so we put that on its own button. Turn signals is two, right and left. Horn is one. And I hear you just fine. Yep, and I have Kerm here. He can hear you just fine too. Okay, so basically, that's what we're looking at. Okay? Understanding why it's there, that's important. Why a mini touch versus another system? Okay. Well, the thing is, the more areas that you force a person to put their thoughts into, like stick your hand over here, or scratch your right ear, or knock your knee against this, or something like that, the more of a controlled circumstance they need to be under. Okay, in order to access these things. So, for example, we used to, in our shop, before the Mini Touch existed, we used to do things like with people that didn't have enough hands, or for whatever reason the hand didn't work well enough, we'd do stuff under the dashboard with their knee, you know? It's kind of a kind of. Absolutely. Yep. And there's a cool part of the product too. Do you know you can buy from us an additional receiver programmed to the same transmitter and use this as a home, what's called an ECU, environmental control unit. And there's absolutely no reason why you can't do that. We can sell you another unit and you can hook up with some guy that does homes, or you can do it yourself and control the guy's air conditioner and his TV and anything else you want to control. There's no problem making that kind of interface. So basically, it can be, like if you get a quad where you hook up a touchpad or something like that right on his wheelchair, okay, because if you don't want him to be reaching way over, okay, well, hook up the touchpads right on his wheelchair, wire it through the Mini Touch, and then when he gets home, he can use the same touchpad to open his garage door. And we can do things like if you get a 12 function, let's say your 6 function, that's taking care of your home stuff, okay? Your 12 function, I'm sorry, your 6 function is taking care of your basic car stuff, okay? Maybe you'll throw a cruise control on and set, take up two more buttons. Well, geez, 6 functions minus 7, 12 minus 7, you got 4 more functions left. That you can use in the home. So this guy can, the quad and the wheelchair, he can now go into his house and turn on whatever, Or you can actually set it to the very same function. But then you just have to, obviously it would have to be something that's non-critical. You wouldn't want to have the shifter hooked up to it or something like that. But obviously his van's going to be off when he's turning his TV on in his house. Okay. And so who cares? Even if he did have his van running and the turn signal turned on, big deal, you know, it doesn't matter. But you can actually set it so that it receives on the very same channel and does a different function in the house. Yep, it's a real neat system. It's kind of like our products are like Swiss Army knives. We do many things with them. That's what they'd say, the multi-lift, we call it the Swiss Army knife of lifts. You can. It is Crescent's. Oh no. Well, yeah. When we do stuff locally, sure. Yeah, we use all Crescent stuff. Yeah, and Crescent is basically the people who build all of our touchpads, all of our interfaces, the vehicle relay packs for the Mini Touch, of course. We're not set up to do that, and Rex is real good at it, and why reinvent the wheel, you know?
Right.
So basically, that's the concept behind the Mini Touch. You've got a lot of flexibility. And the appeal to the driver rehab folks who are recommending this and who I believe recommended this one is, you know, when there's technology out there that allows you to keep a person's hand right smack on the steering wheel at all times, and if you as an evaluator recommend something else, you're not doing due diligence. So by introducing this product, Brian, we sort of raised the bar and said, well, wait a second. There is a way to safely access all of the vehicle functions while maintaining control of the steering wheel. So the type of client who's going to use this product is the guy who really only has dexterity in one hand, either dexterity only or function only in one hand. Now, again, there are other ways of accomplishing this that you as a technician, you know, you may get into some second guessing of folks. You may look at something and say, you know, real nice idea, but I tell you what, you know, you really could have gotten away with an elbow pad here. Okay, that's a typical other solution. Well, that's fine, but you have some people that can't always nail that elbow pad just at the right time, or they're either missing their left arm or it's paralyzed. Okay, so that's the people that we're dealing with. So we're dealing with a lot of stroke people, really. Okay, on to the Mini Touch itself and what it is and how it works. Okay. Why the Mini Touch is a very big benefit to clients compared to any other type of product that might accomplish the same thing, because there are other systems out there. The Mini Touch tucks down into the steering wheel. Now, we're talking about FMVSS 208. We're talking about seatbelt systems and things like that. You are probably well aware, Brian. Now, you've been in the business for a long time, right, as I recall? Yeah, because I remember I talked to you on the multi-lift training, and I remember you'd been in it for, you know, you've been in it for quite a while. I didn't write it down, but I remember it. But the bottom line is, you know, we used to just laugh at FMVSS, you know. We'd say, oh, well, we're vehicle modifiers. We can do whatever we want. Not the case really anymore. You know, they're raising the bar on us, and they're saying, you can't just go in there, you know, with the new NHTSA ruling, you can't just go in there and do whatever you want. There's actually certain systems that they're saying now that we can fiddle with, just like anybody else, like the Fuel System Integrity 301, you know. Sorry, I don't care if you're doing it for a disabled person. You can't burn a disabled person up any more than you can burn an able-bodied person up. And I tend to agree with what they're saying, you know. And I think that the technology has reached the point now where we really can start to say, you know what, we can make disabled people just as safe as able-bodied people in many cases, not in all cases. So same with the Mini Touch here. You know, we used to be the people who manufactured the product that stuck out in front of the airbag, okay? You know, you remember spanner bars, right? 14 years ago, that's what we used, right? Especially up in Michigan, I know Jerry was big on those. Jerry Bowman at Grand Rapids there.
Yeah.
He's still big on them, yeah. You know, you got to say, Jerry, man, get with it, you know. But, I mean, the bottom line is that we need to be worried about the airbag deployment, because we're fiddling with a really important part of the system. Look at the Mini Touch. It has an inclined face, inclined so that it basically avoids the whole airbag deployment zone. You'll notice that it's inset into the depth of the dish of the wheel. Okay, that's why it is the way it is. So when you're dealing with alternate configurations of a Mini Touch, such as You can, with the Mini Touch, mount the Mini Touch in front of the steering wheel. Okay, front, but I mean towards the front of the vehicle. So in other words, if the person would reach around behind, you know, from the person's perspective, it's behind the steering wheel while still holding on to the spinner knob. This is kind of cool because it allows you to put the Mini Touch at any o'clock you want. Okay, versus, you know, like let's say that the evaluator comes through and says 3 o'clock, okay? Well, you got a guy who's 6 feet tall, he's got long fingers, okay? Take the guy's hand, Brian, put it on the spinner knob, put it at wherever you want on the wheel, okay, and say, show me where your fingers will go. Well, most, even the shortest person, I actually took a person who was 5'4", okay, average build, average, you know, length fingers, 5'4", and I had her hold her hand on the Mini Touch spinner knob and see if she could reach around behind the wheel of a Neon, and she could. She could actually access the function. So the majority of the people are going to be able to do that. And even if you do have to slip off of the knob for just a second, it's a whole lot better than just letting the wheel go. Okay? So that's a kind of a nice system, and it works very well, and it gives you a lot of flexibility. But when you're building your brackets, remember the airbag deploys in most cases at about a 45-degree angle right out of the base of the airbag unit. And usually you can see where the airbag unit is. Go from the base of that unit, go out at a 45-degree angle, and you're pretty much defining the airbag deployment zone. No, you're not an engineer, and no, you have no study to back it up, but are you doing the best you can? Yes, you are. And basically, the Mini Touch will stay clear of that at all times. NHTSA did a study of of spinner knobs and found that a spinner knob itself is not a cause for concern in any airbag that they could find on the market. So they officially came out and said, don't worry about a spinner knob. So the spinner knob itself is not an issue. Since this is lower than the spinner knob, we can say this is not an issue. Okay? These are important things because remember, you know, you got to put these NHTSA stickers on vehicles now. So you need to know what does a Mini Touch interfere with. So it's our opinion that it does not interfere with any of the supplemental security systems. Okay. All right. The different configurations are you can mount a Mini Touch on a, we do have a foot adapter. You can stick your foot in it. We have a palm grip adapter. Okay, and in that case, it actually, in both of those cases, it actually goes around with the Mini Touch. So now the Mini Touch is in the airbag deployment zone. Therefore, you do have to look up whatever the, let's see, the airbag one. I'm looking at it right now. Possibly 201, occupant protection and interior impact. I suppose 201 and 208 would be the ones that I would be thinking about. So if it were me and I were in your shop and you had to write up that NHTSA sticker for that vehicle, I'd put 201 and 208 down if you have a Mini Touch palm mounted. Because I think it is a risk, you know. You got this big thing in your face, you know. I mean, same as a tri-pin. I would kind of put it in the same category, although it probably wouldn't hurt as bad as a tri-pin. I think a tri-pin would. Tri-pin is a little bit more of a thing to stab you with. But,
On the tri-pin,
yes, you do. It's the same Mini Touch, but you actually trim off the one mounting tab, and you have a whole different mounting arrangement.
Okay.
And it would come from us like that. Okay, it's not a very common application, but actually, one of your other locations did one. Plainview?
Okay, hang on a second.
Yep, sure. Americans have a high-calorie diet and drink lots of alcohol and wine and have lots of heart attacks. Japanese have a... Okay.
You there?
Yep, okay.
Had
to say bye-bye. Okay. So, you know, just now that we've kind of, you know, trying to kind of frame your knowledge of where does this product fit in with other product lines, okay? You know, again, you're going to look at other options like Digitone and Digivoice and stuff like that. You have to factor cost in there as well. This is definitely a much lower cost option. But when you start looking at all those, again, you know, you need to do a functional assessment. If you got a guy who can just absolutely access something with his elbow all the time, no matter what and no matter where, hey, definitely a elbow pad is going to be cheaper than a mini touch, no question about it. But again, when their function is very, very limited in one arm and is reasonably good in the other arm, they have to have the finger dexterity, you're definitely going to look at this product. And again, you know, they might have good elbow function here, you know, that's fine. A lot of times you'll have a wheelchair user where, you know, they might have elbow function, but boy, it's tucked right into the wheelchair. They can't get out to the door, you know. Again, nice opportunity, put the function, mount the function right on the wheelchair. You can even use an elbow pad. We can take a mini touch and we can grab the wires off of it and give you leads coming out of the mini touch so that you can trigger it any old way you want.
That's cool. I tell you what, I'm glad that I talked to you about this because you send me as much information as you can because I know a couple situations where I needed this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alden?
Yeah.
Well, because it's not something that they sell.
Oh, okay.
Not their responsibility to tell you about our products.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you're still using Crescent at the core of it, you know, in terms of the relay packs. We don't care to get involved with that. But this is just another interface option, you know. But anyway, the next step is we want to talk about how does the Mini Touch actually work. Okay, what's going on inside? And what's going on inside is much more than, you know, say what your TV remote is doing. Okay, even though your TV remote works via light and this is RF. Okay, even though it's a radio frequency device, it has what's called an anti-code grabber kind of circuitry. What literally happens when you press a button on a Mini Touch, what is going on is a signal is sent out from the Mini Touch to the receiver, okay, from the Mini Touch transmitter to the Mini Touch receiver. The Mini Touch receiver says, okay, I think I got this particular message to activate this function. It sends out a confirmation transmission back to the transmitter. The transmitter says, yep, that's what I said, and sends the final confirmation, which activates the function, back to the receiver. Okay? Sure. Okay, go ahead. Yep. Nice guy, sounds like. I did multi-lift training with him, too. He was good to deal with. And what I do is, like, if they put me on hold or something,
okay.
Okay.
Yep,
no problem. Anyway, basically, so you have this sort of a round robin that goes on where we send out a signal, we confirm it, and only then do we activate it. So the chances in that system, and first of all, these are encrypted frequencies. It's not just like a carrier, okay? You know, back in the old days, you know, your Radio Shack remote that turns on your light or something like that, it's just a carrier frequency. Anything can activate it, okay? Something happens to be transmitting on that frequency, and it's going to make the signal. Here, you have a rotating code. So not only is it encoded, but the code is not the same each and every time you press the button. So it changes according to its own little logarithm, okay? It changes each time. So the only time that particular code is good is if it follows this other code, okay? You know, so in other words, time 1, time 2, time 3, time 4, and time 5 all have different codes. and the code rotates around in a circle. So the ability of a an anti-code graph, they have these things that thieves use on radio remotes for cars called code grabbers, and you can buy these machines for like $1,000. They receive the frequency, okay? So they could just walk over when in a parking lot with one of these devices. They see somebody hit their car thing, and the parking lights flash, and they just say, okay, well, whatever frequency that was. And then they follow that car, and they get home, and they hit their button, and it opens up the car. So that's what's called a code grabber. This is anti-code grabber, so that, in other words, that hit was only good for that one particular operation. And it's got to go through like 1,600 other cycles before it's going to have that exact same code again. So both the receiver and the transmitter know what to expect from each other next. But what gets transmitted over the air is not the same thing. Okay, does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. So basically, we have no way of activating this by mistake. It's just impossible. Okay?
Don't let that alarm you. I'm working on the band as I'm listening to you.
Okay, alrighty. Okay, the next thing is... basically, how do we go through troubleshooting procedures? How do we hook the thing up? Okay, hook it up. Common sense. You're going to go. You can grab your power from the fuse block. It's the only Access Unlimited product which we allow you to do that on. Obviously, make sure that you have your fuse in line. You know, there's an inline fuse that we supply. Make sure that that's in there. Make sure that your ground is attached to the chassis of the vehicle. Okay, and make sure that you have properly prepared the metal so that you don't get an intermittent. This is a big source of problems, an intermittent ground going to the mini-touch. So make sure that you scrape it where you bolt it on, and make sure that it's bolted right on there, not just, you know, on some wire that looks like it has a ground, okay? The big problem that we've found is where people grab their ground. We had one dealer that was having all sorts of problems, and they... It turns out that they were getting jolts from where they were taking the power. Okay, so just take the power and take the ground from the chassis of the vehicle. The chassis of the vehicle tends to have a sort of a capacitor effect on things. You know what a capacitor is?
Yeah.
Soaks up spikes.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes you can get jolts from the particular power wire that you're working from. If that does happen, you may have to work your way up the line towards the battery.
Okay.
Alrighty. That can occasionally create a difference. There is not 12 volts is not 12 volts is not 12 volts everywhere in the vehicle. There's differences.
Right.
Okay. So basically, you're gonna hook the power up. Obviously, your outputs are what's called active low. Okay. Activate the button, and you get a low or a negative out that output. It can handle up to 300 milliamps.
Okay.
Alrighty. So anything that requires more than a relay, basically, you got to watch out for. If you do ever activate anything that has a relay, you have to make sure that it is protected against inductive discharge. Brian. Because you know how some relays can send a big spike back up the path?
Yeah.
You can stun a mini-touch with that.
Really?
Yes. The inductive discharge from a capacitor can be up to like 150 volts from a relay,
okay.
One that's not diode protected.
Okay.
So make sure that you only use, if you do activate anything with a relay, so you want to make your own function, you know, for something that you guys created that's not part of the car, you will want to use a... diode protected relay. Alrighty. Hello. We lost him, Vern. Access Unlimited. Yes, this is he.
Tom, it's Kevin from H&H Care.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm in the middle of a tech support call right now.
Can you guys call me back?
Yeah, is it real quick, Kevin?
Yeah, just it is. That easy base lift, when you put it with the multi lift.
Yes.
Can you pick up somebody from the floor with that?
Yes, you can. It requires a little bit of a knowledgeability, but yes, you basically can.
Okay, because that's their only criteria, is that they have to be able to pick up the child from the floor.
Okay.
With the easy base and the multi-load.
Okay, yes, it can be done, but you'll need to talk to me a little further about it, just to make, yes, it can be done.
Okay.
Requires a combination of slings.
I'm going to put an order through, and then we'll work through that, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, we somehow you disappeared.
Yeah, something happened to the cordless phone. I don't know what. I was talking to you there,
but
it was gone.
Okay. We're just about done now. So basically think about power a little differently than power is power. Power is not power is not power. Power is different in different places, and we're concerned about EMI. So we locate the mini-touch as far away from any sources of EMI. You know what I mean by EMI, right?
Yes.
Okay, electromagnetic interference. Keep away from your motors and your anything with a brush or an armature, okay? Keep away from anything that is going to create dirty power, okay? A lot of times windshield wipers themselves, windshield wipers are a famous source of spikes, inductive spikes. Anything like the guy has, what do you call it, like fog lights or something like that, and there's aftermarket relays in there, they can be a source. The battery itself of the vehicle tends to have a capacitive sort of function, okay? The battery literally acts as a capacitor. So if you put a big spike right where the battery is, all it's going to do is charge the battery. You see what I mean? If you have a big spike way out on the end of a power grid somewhere, that's going to tend to affect the things in the area a lot more than something from the battery. So sometimes you do need to work your way forward towards the battery, but not always.
Okay, I was going to ask, is there any problem hooking this up to ignition 12-volt?
Yeah, and that's what we recommend.
Okay.
But you do need to understand that, you know, there can be sometimes interference problems where we do work our way away from that towards the battery.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's generally where we would recommend it. Okay.
Yep.
But we've actually had situations where they had to do a relay, and then ignition controlled relay, but power from the battery. You know, because there's just something going on where it's just throwing these little spikes in there that the rest of the car can deal with, but the radio, the mini touch can't. Okay.
The unit itself, if indeed somebody wanted it on 12 volts, say they got, for some reason they want to turn their flash or something.
Mm-hmm.
Buy this.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Oh, the receiver is hardly pulling anything. The receiver itself is minimal. It's solid. It's all solid state in there.
Okay.
So it's not consuming much current, and it can control anything that you want to buy the set of relay packs for.
Okay.
I mean, there's basically just about anything in the vehicle that's electrical you can control, including HVAC.
Cool.
Yep, it can do HVAC. The only things that it can't do are the radio. If, you know, specific radio functions, radio on and off is no problem. Specific radio functions, if your radio is not wired to be able to control them, then it's a problem.
So basically anything that's using a negative trigger, this is going to be able to...
Exactly, and you can make it a positive trigger if you want. You know, you just invert it through a relay, you know. So, sounds like you've been doing some electronics for a few years.
Yeah,
there's nothing to stump you. Okay, sounds good. All right, so basically, diagnostic-wise, what do you do when you got a mini-touch that's acting up, okay? How do we deal with that?
Check your power on your ground
first, absolutely, the old faithful. But let's say you've done that, okay, and now you're in a situation where you're getting an intermittent problem, okay? Where do you look, all right? EMI It's a big one. Okay. So the diagnostic technique is this. Let's say that you have a mini touch that's screwing up. Okay. It's screwing up. Let's say it's leaving the washer, the wipers on all the time. Wipers are going and going and going and going and going as soon as you turn the car on. All right. What's the first thing you do is to separate the mini touch from the relay pack on the wiper trigger. See if the mini touch is sending out a constant signal. We're going to take two paths here, okay? Sort of like those interactive DVD-ROMs, you know, where you can have the story go in this direction or that direction, okay? Two paths. Let's say that you disconnect it and it is, and the problem stops, okay? So your next step is going to be, you're going to take your probe and you're going to say, am I getting an active low out of the wire? Well, chances are you're going to get, and the answer is going to be yes. You're getting an active low. The mini touch is doing that. Then the next thing that you would do, though, is not very intuitive, okay? It could be that one of the other relay packs on the crescent side is stunning the mini touch, okay? Sending out some sort of back feed or screwing it up somehow. So what you will do is one by one, not all at a time, one by one, while it is malfunctioning, disconnect all of those functions and see if the problem stops. If the problem stops, then you'll want to take your probe and see if you're getting power, which you're not supposed to, out of that wire. Like, in other words, if it's a negative trigger wire and somehow it got power. Now, Rex uses what's called opto-isolators. Okay? These opto-isolators are pretty foolproof, okay? It means that they really generally won't do that. We ran into this problem a while back. Chances are that's not going to be happening anymore. But it can happen. Okay, so disconnect them one by one by one by one by one, see if your problem stops. Let's say that your problem is persisting. Okay, you're still getting that same problem even after you disconnected everything. Disconnect power from the mini touch, reconnect power to the mini touch, and see if you still have the same problem. Okay. If you do still have the same problem, then you'll want to see first of all, the next step that you would do is you would reprogram the mini touch to the receiver to the transmitter.
And that's what the test button is?
That's what the test button is, yes.
Yeah, right there on the side of the mini touch controller.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Receiver.
Yep.
Okay, I noticed that. I was checking it out.
Yep. Okay, so basically, you can do that. And if you get to that, you'll never remember the little sequence. You just call us and we'll tell you what the sequence is. You press it in, release it, while you're activating a function, you press it, release it for 5 seconds or so many seconds, I can't remember what it is, and then press it again and then release it, okay? But again, just call us and we'll work you through that. That generally solves 90% of the problems, okay? You've just taught them to get used to each other. But what you know now is that the mini touch got stunned. So your question then has to be, what stunned it? Okay? And you'll never generally know the answer to that question, okay? Because a lot of times you can't reproduce it. But you certainly don't want to be sending customers back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So what you will do is you'll use a combination of tricks. You can use a big old 5,000 microfarad capacitor, okay? You can use a shunt diode going in the wrong direction so that it doesn't short your power circuit out to the mini touch, going in the opposite direction, because generally spikes will travel through the diode. Okay? And if that doesn't work, you can try relocating it away from EMI. Find out where the EMI is coming from, get away from it. And if that doesn't work, travel closer and closer and closer to the battery in terms of where you pick up your power. And if all that doesn't work, you have a bad mini touch. Okay? Next step, okay, let's say that, you know, path B, you know, fork B in the road is you separated the two units out and the problem stopped. Okay? When you were disconnecting the other functions. Okay, and there was no further problem. I would reprogram it anyway just to be on the safe side. But you know that you've got something hairy coming up from the relays. Okay?
Okay, now, in reprogram, I'm taking it that it's already programmed now, right?
It is already programmed. It ships programmed. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So basically, what you're doing there is you're going to measure your outputs from your supposed inputs on the relay pack side.
Okay.
So you probe around until you find, hey, whoa, wait a second, this one's giving me positive. It's not supposed to be giving me positive here. Okay. You know you got a problem. All right. But typically, okay, so now let's go to the situation where you disconnect it and there's nothing wrong with the mini touch. Okay. Next step is go through and trigger each one of the functions on the relay pack. See if they work properly. Okay. Also, with the relay packs, Rex's relay packs can also be stunned because they are now electronic inside. There's a circuit board inside them instead of being just all relay logic anymore. So now, that's very nice and everything for Rex because he can use one design for all circuits, but he's now got the same problem that we have. His units can be stunned as well.
Okay.
So sometimes they have to be sent back to him and be re-EPROM'd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what that is? EEPROM is the way that they burn circuits to do a certain thing.
Sort of like a reprogramming.
Yeah, it's basically reprogramming.
Exactly.
Yep. It's literally burned right into the circuit. Okay. So he may have to do that. And a lot of times you'll have to do the same thing with him. You'll have to just kind of keep on moving your power up closer. But his problem is that he can be getting jolts from the circuits that he's connected to. These are issues that you need to take up with Crescent, though. Okay. But the same type of thing applies. Okay. Obviously, he's not an RF device, so EMI isn't as big of an issue, but spikes in the power circuit are a big issue, and he will have you doing things like putting diodes across here and there to shunt the little, you know, problems, you know, he'll work his way up slowly to the battery sometimes too, you know, and putting capacitors here and diodes there, you know, that's all kind of part of the process.
Okay.
Alrighty. In terms of everything, of course, you're going to solder versus, you know, Scotch locks. Is it okay to hook the mini-touch to a bunch of wires? Yes, it is. You know, the housing unit. I'd like to say that you're going to put it on metal every time, but you know what? That's putting in a hell of an onus on you when you have to put this thing in. You know, I don't care if you take a wire tie and you tie it to a really solid-looking bunch of wires where nothing's going to chafe. That's fine. Okay? You know, sometimes one of those wires has got something a little spiky going on, so you may have to move it to something that's not like that, okay? A lot of times it's nice, instead of tying the body of the mini-touch right to the bunch of wires, it's nice to actually take the two end tabs there and loop through one harness on one side and loop through another harness on the other side so that the bulk of the unit is not sitting right up against a wire. Exactly. That works just fine. Or if you got a little hunk of chassis up there, or the backside of the knee pad, the knee bolster, great place.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just for your information on this particular one, it's actually mounted to the steering column.
That's fine. Great place. Yep. Long as it doesn't go around every time you turn the wheel. I've never done anything like that, especially with a hand control. And I've never had a car where I put the hand control in and I couldn't steer the car anymore. That's never happened to me. I just heard about somebody that might have happened to. We had that one time. We put a sure grip in and we couldn't turn the wheel anymore.
Yeah, one of the techs that I had working for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, no, it was a GM, I'm sorry, where it had the mounting bolts that go right in the side of the steering column.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he went ahead, took it out, put a long metric bolt in instead of one proper length.
Mm-hmm.
Running right into the shaft.
Oh, man.
So he was freaking out. He had it all done. The customer was there, jumped in it, tried to turn the wheel.
Unbelievable. Yep. Or the hand control, the guy that does the hand control, and you get it out, and the shift indicator doesn't work anymore. But it didn't have anything to do with installing the hand control. No, it was just a coincidence. That must have just happened to break right at the same time that I was working on it. I got that from a technician one time. Yeah. Yeah, squeeze the daylights out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a beauty. Yep. But it sounds like you've got a real good handle on it. I have nothing further for you. And, good luck with it. What I'll expect from you is another call back when you complete your installation, just to let us know how you made out. And once we do that, we'll get your certificate in the mail, and you're certified on MiniTouch.
Okay.
All righty. And if I'm not available when you call, it's okay to talk to Kerm, K-E-R-M.
Okay, Kerm. Okay, thanks.
All righty. Yep. Thank you very much, Brian. It's a pleasure talking with you. Sounds like you really know what you're doing.
Well, thanks.
Okay, sir.
I've been at it long enough.
Well, that's not always the reason why people know what they're doing. Length is not the only thing.
That's right. Length wasn't it.
Yep, in more ways than one. Talk to you later, Brian. Bye-bye.